about the day after Thanksgiving, we began thinking about Christmas, because it was about then that the first Christmas catalog arrived. We could not wait. The three of us would literally fight over who got to see it first, because it was from that catalog that we were able to select one toy and one item of clothing for Santa Claus to bring. Everything under the sun was in this catalog and in full color. And we had to pick out one thing from all of that. How in the world did I select among all of these many, many choices? Now, it wasn't something that one did easily. It took days, probably a week or more, to decide. The first consideration was, it. If I remember correctly, it couldn't cost more than $2, maybe, or $3. So that pushed all that stuff aside. But then you'd sort through all these other things. And I was always fond of books. I never had enough, because our library in Wild Rose in those days didn't allow us to check out books. Our school library was very few books. So generally speaking, I would ask for a book. Christmas was a big deal. We would go to church on Christmas Eve, generally. And for many years, before we had a German Lutheran church in Wild Rose, we went to the Holden Lutheran Church, which was Norwegian. My dad wasn't quite sure, nor my mother, if that was appropriate for us as good German Lutherans to be messing around with these Norwegian Lutherans. Even get that weird. They were our neighbors, of course, we knew them all. Different from city kids, on Christmas morning, we didn't rush downstairs and tear open our packages and shout with glee the presents that we got. No, indeed. The cows always came first. No matter what was going on, milking the cows twice a day, on time, feeding them and caring for them was the most important thing that we did. Indeed, the most important. It came before everything. So Christmas morning, it's out to the barn. Christmas tree is in the dining room. Presents are under it. We can't touch the presents till the cows are milked, cows are fed. We're in the house after all of that's done, and then we can open our presents. And I tear open this little package, and there's my book, Fun for Boys. And I have it to this day. A book about things that boys can do. Everything from how to throw your voice. That's what they called ventriloquists in those days. People who were able to throw their voice. How to identify foreign airplanes, which really intrigued me because we were at war with Germany and Japan at the time. And I envisioned a German Messerschmitt coming over our farm and strafing our cattle. I mean, that was the worst possible thought. All of that was in this book. You could look at the configurations for these airplanes and plan for that terrible day when airplanes would come. They never did. Never saw an airplane ever, whether it was German or US, never saw any kind of airplane. But we were prepared. I had a second present too. That year I got a sweater. Now, my brother Donald, he got what was called a crow shoot. That's what he picked out. Now, a crow shoot was a little pop gun. You cracked it open, and you put a cork in the end, and you pulled the trigger, and the cork flew out about 6 feet. And there were a bunch of crows, silhouettes of crows on a little thing. You hit a crow, and it'd turn around 3-4 times. And so he was bing, 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 pretty good. And he was turning these crows over one after the other. Pretty soon he got bored with that. Well, my dad is sitting by the stove with a round oak heater in the dining room, and he's reading the paper while we're mussing around with our toys. And my brother, what got into him, I don't know. My dad used to smoke cigarettes, and he was smoking a cigarette at the time. And my brother Donald takes aim with this little cork gun and goes bloop. And darned if he didn't hit that cigarette straight on, and it flew out of my dad's mouth on the floor. My brother Daryl and I were aghast. This would be the most severe punishment that could ever be meted out. I mean, we couldn't wait to see what was going to happen to my brother Donald, who himself was so surprised that his shot had been so accurate. My dad picks up the cigarette, puts it back in his mouth, and looks over at Donald and says, "That was a pretty good shot." Only Christmas morning, I think, saved the day. One of the interesting things that we always did on Christmas Day, after we'd opened the presents and we'd had our noon meal, we had neighbors just to the north of us. Alan lived there with his daughter. His wife had died some years earlier. And they were poor as poor could be. And on Christmas Day, my mother always baked an apple pie for them. And she would buy a couple of little presents. And my brothers and I would go down there in the afternoon. And they would welcome us. Oh, they would welcome company. They were wonderful people in that respect. And going into their house, there were no decorations, no Christmas tree, no sign that it was Christmas at all. And they would be sitting by the wood stove. And we would sit there and we would talk with them. And they would ask us how things were going and what presents we got for Christmas. And I would give them the apple pie. And my mother had purchased a pair of gloves, work gloves for Alan, which I gave him. And she'd gotten a little frilly handkerchief, which she had for Catherine. And I knew, as did my mother know, that's the only presents that they got. And when I left, my brothers and I left, Alan said, "Thank you. Thank your mother." And Catherine said, "Thank your mother for me too." And she had tears in her eyes. That helped me understand there was a lot more to Christmas than receiving books and sweaters and other presents.